Rishus, more of a rabbi in so many aspects of life. Rabbi Kamesky, just that you know, the only reason why I'm speaking first is only because you told me that that's the way that it's going to go. So you kind of stuck in an awkward position of do you then argue and you speak before you're ready when he says specifically that he wants you to go first? So I don't know. I'm opting to go this way of listening to him for a change. As opposed to all the times that I made the mistake of not listening, and hopefully in this case that's the right decision. But don't get bored by what I say and fall asleep and then miss what he says, because what he has to say is probably the more accurate and the more relevant. Okay, the topic we have first, secondly, of course, we want to thank the Baruch Hu for the ability to be here. Everything, of course, that we have is his. But in terms of execution of the program, so as Rabbi Greishauer so powerfully pointed out in the voice note from the Nevesh HaChayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does great things in the world, and he gave us the privilege of being his partners with him of doing great things in the world. So we thank him for the greatness of what's happening on this program, and at the same time we thank everybody here for as we've said before, but it doesn't bear to not repeat, to thank everybody for their efforts in allowing this program to be in the place that it is. Don't think for a second we don't have a ton of work to do. We have a ton of work to do, but really tremendous hakaras hatov to everybody for their tremendous efforts. Our topic tonight is: Are we? What did they say?
It's two gear cells.
What does that say?
Are we producing great people? Or are we producing great leaders?
Two gears. Okay, so I thought I had the gears of people. You want this way you can deal with leaders?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That was a plan. Okay, are we producing great people? I don't know the answer. There is no answer to that. Anybody who thinks that they can give an answer to that, I think is making a mistake. Because the cardinal principle is that we have no idea. The assumption of the question, I think, is that there's a certain place, a certain level that everybody could reach, and if we reach that mark, so then we've been successful, we've made great people, and if we've fallen short, then we haven't made great people. We unfortunately in our at least when I was growing up in my educational system, you know, there was no DRS back then. Maybe if I had that opportunity, so I would have grown up believing in something that's more real. I always was raised in that you'll never fill your potential. You're a human being and you can't do that. And therefore the automatic assumption is, of course, we're not producing people that are great, because you know what, to be great means that you're hitting the high bar. I don't know I don't have that kind of reader. You know, you have like a QR, whatever. You know, or we have all these kinds of readers. You know, these reader apps. I don't have the reader app on people's souls. I don't know what people's potentials are. So, are we producing people that are great? I have no idea. If somebody thinks that they have that kind of reader, so then maybe they could give the answer to that kind of question. But the assumption, it seems like, from the question, is that you have to be hitting, that you have to be hitting that high bar in order to be considered great. Like, for example, like if you think about right now, let's take a moment. Now, don't shout out; it's not confessional. But think for a moment about who do you consider great? Okay, I have some people in my mind. You know, that would be my reflex answer. Okay, I'll tell you something. That as somebody, you know, I'll share with you a personal reflection about the way that my life is. Okay, don't worry, I don't lack any self-confidence. I have plenty, maybe I have an overflated sense of the good things, you know, of the good things that I do. Maybe it's true, maybe my dad is just like, you know, he kind of smiles at me and lets me like do my own thing, makes me feel good, but really, he's pulling all the strings behind the program. I don't think that I do bad things. It's not like I don't do anything good in the world. But, you know, sometimes I walk down the street and I see a certain parent, right, a father and a mother, I see them with their kids. And, you know, I see what kind of relationship that they have. And then, b'li ayin hara, my, you know, because with the guidance of Rabbi Kamenetsky, So I don't think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you guys would be like, well, let me tell you. I've been talking to your kid. Let me tell you about all the things that you stink at and that you do. Okay. Then maybe that's true. If you have insider information, so let me know. But there are things that I look at their relationship and the way that they communicate, the way that they share with each other, and I'm like, wow, you know what? I view that as great. Does the person know Shas by heart? Do we consider him great because he's the Rosh Yeshiva? No, he doesn't. I don't even know if he learns a word. No, he doesn't daven like a 97-minute Shmon Esrei. He's not Machmir and all the halachas of Shabbos. He's not Rav Machlis, who's like the superhero of all Beit Adam Chavira. But I look at that. I think that that's great. And there could be elements that everybody has in their life that they succeed. Or they, maybe even excel in one area that I consider great. So we look around the room over here. Even are we producing great people? How much greatness is sitting in this room right now? Before I even start with like potentials you're gonna race for him and one day Kirsch. When you write your first sefer, okay, just put my name in. Even if I have nothing to do with it, okay, fine. Even if you don't want to write the full thing out, and you only want to write it like the first letter on every line, nun, tough nun, aleph, lamed, as a hint, so I can show my kids and be like, So before we even get to any of that, okay, before we start talking, but of the amazing, the amazing accomplishments that are we producing great people? Yeah. There's so much greatness that you guys have already done in your life. So of course, on the one hand, where we are, we're producing great people. It doesn't always have to be a beatdown. It doesn't always have to be a misery. It doesn't always have to be like, oh yeah, we're not good enough. I'm a human being. I'm imperfect. We don't have to think like that. We could think like, okay, wait a second, time out. Let me look at some of the awesome things that I've done. Okay, that's on the one hand. On the other side, so are we producing people that are as great as they could be? Okay, maybe yes. I'm not certainly not going to say automatically no, but there are some challenges that it comes to when we're talking about raising great. We live in a world now. Poor Stephen A. Smith. He made a comment that was so obviously true. And what have we recorded? Now I'm going to get it also. I don't know anything about Shohei Ohtani or anything. I'm not even following baseball. We live in a world that a guy makes one comment, and all of a sudden everybody's like jumping down his back. There's a fine automatically about one thing that we say, and it's wrong. It can't be. We're so oversensitive sometimes. Everybody knows that in order to be great at anything, so you got to work. Nothing in our world, no greatness in our world happens when we just fall into it. It can't be. It's only when b'zeh sapecha. It's only when we work. So then we have the ability to be great. And in our world, sometimes, we live in such a hypersensitive state of not offending people for good reason is because a lot of times this might be the world of Korban, by the way. Korban means that there is no, we can't tie our worlds up into a nice little box and tie it with a nice little bow. And sometimes there is no answer. Maybe the Talmid, the recipients of the world, maybe the skin is not thick, and therefore we can't receive as much, and therefore the mechanchim have to be careful about what they say. That might be the way the world is, that just might be the reality of what we're living in. But if we can't, if we can't be honest, if we have to be afraid to be honest because of sensitivities, so then that shortchanges a little bit our ability to really thrive. The only way to really be like Kutcher Griffel, the only way to be really great, Chasimus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is MS. So the only way to be really great is only if we could be MS. The only way, here's a key piece of advice that I stink at for now, but for all those who are certainly those who are dating, and I'm looking at all the people that I saw on dates on Friday. I was so proud of myself. I was like, you know, instead of sitting in the old days, I would have sat down right at the next table, just, you know, but now I'm like so respectful, you know, we went as far away as possible. Anyway, that if you want to have a real relationship with somebody, so it's only if you're able to be honest with the other person. You know, if you want to be, if you want to have a real relationship with the people in your chabura, so the only way the best way to have a real relationship is only if you can be honest. The way they have kudra bricha in your relationship is if you have MS. But our world a little bit is, you know, confuses MS for good reason, because we have to be sometimes, we have to be hypersensitive. So if we have to be hypersensitive at the cost of MS, so then that also might cost us some level of greatness. So again, I'm going to stop. We should really hear from Rebbe Kamenetsky. But are we producing people that are great? I believe that yes. By the inspiration of people like Rebbe Kamenetsky and so many others, even some of you guys, so incredibly inspiring, the efforts that you put in the summer and beyond. Are we producing people that are great? Yes, we're producing people that are great. They're doing great things. Are we producing people that are as great as possible? Possibly yes. It could be that yes, we are. It could be that maybe because of the way that the world is right now, because of our hypersensitivity, which might be necessary. For the world that we're living in, so maybe that might cost us a little bit of our ability to help people be as great as they can be. So if we're able to figure out a way to convey to others, and it might be as Pirkei Avos says, "Oy v'sabrios v'karvan haTorah." If we're able to figure out a way to convey to others the MS in a way that people are able to receive, so then it could be then that at that point we may be able to. To help people reach even higher levels.
Thank you very much, my Yidid Nefesh, Rabbi Leibowitz, who always makes me feel like I'm at my own funeral. So part of me wants to scratch everything that I wrote down here in honor of Rabbi Leibowitz. 10 years ago, DRS was looking for a Rebbe. We had 75 resumes of people who wanted to come to be a Rebbe. Last year, looking for a Rebbe, we had 4 resumes of people who wanted to come. So let me ask everybody here a question. Why is that? I want to hear what you guys have to say. How come 10 years ago we had 75 resumes, and for the exact same job, last year we had 4? So how come 10 years ago everybody believed that they could do it, and 2 years ago people don't believe they could do it? But it's interesting that you feel that way. I'm happy that you shared that. But people don't feel. Yeah.
Maybe financial pressure.
Is the financial pressure worse now 2 years ago than it was 10 years ago? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. What changed in the 10 years? Why was the financial pressure? What changed?
Maybe it was the challenges that. They are going to face the kids are a lot greater nowadays than they were 10 years ago.
Wow, so we heard here three things. We heard here, and 2 of them were very similar. I'm scared, I don't know if I really could do it. It's such a big achrayas, and the kids are getting crazier and crazier and crazier, so how in the world am I going to really be able to handle it? That's we heard this, and thank you for being honest and sharing that. That's the only way we'll get anything out if we're honest. And the second thing we heard was financial responsibilities. Anybody else? Anything else? Anything else? Reasons why people aren't going into chinuch anymore?
Greater generational gap.
So in other words, even somebody 20, 22, 25 feels like a 14, 15-year-old is like from a whole different generation. That's what you're saying. That I don't. I can't even at 25. Can you imagine what I think? But you're at 23. You feel like, or some people might feel like, that like the kids are in such a different space that we can't relate to them. Yeah.
There's less appreciation than there was 10 years ago for Rabbanan.
Wow. You think that's changed in the last 10 years? What do you have any specific factors that you think might have affected that? Like what do you think? Scandals? Has it maybe scandals? Does that do it, or what has happened to change that?
Potentially just more like emphasis on materialism and less emphasis on education and Torah.
So I feel embarrassed because I really had planned on. I skimmed an article before this. I really had meant to read it. It was around. Just things have been a little hectic for me. It's not a good excuse, but I really wanted to read it. I don't know if any of you saw the article that there's a Rebbe in our yeshiva. His name is Rabbi Aaron Fletcher. His sister-in-law is Alexandra Fletcher. Anyone see the article that she wrote recently in the magazine? I know her great job. So about the why there's a crisis of leadership. People are not going into kinnah positions. People are not going in. So to the degree that I understood some of what the title was, again, there was a machlokas. Some people who made the title thought it should be X, other people thought it should be Y. Part of what I wanted to use this opportunity to tell you about, and I'm sure most of you can't believe that the numbers that I said. It's absolutely 100% true what I said. It could even pass Rabbi Leibowitz's MS test. I'm not just trying to say that. So I had a whole thing planned, but maybe we should talk a little bit more about this, because I can tell you that over the years, it was the Madrichim of the NCSY Kollel who were the ones that I was going to after the summer, saying, you know, when you're ready to go into Chinuch, do me a favor, give me a call. Now, you know why Rabbi Benowitz lets me come? I get to pick the best Rebbes of, I get to pick the best people. But all those reasons that people said are certainly, I'm sure they're accurate. I mean, I'm sure they're absolutely accurate. One of the things I spoke about in my last thing, which I'm trying to keep track of which ideas I want to speak and which things, same night, talked about stresses and how there's a lot of pressures. We live in a very stressed and pressured environment. I feel strongly about this, that social media and the attachment to kids, attachment to their phone to such an incredible degree has three results, probably has more, the three that I think are the most salient when it comes to a lack of appreciation of greatness, or a lack of ability to strive for greatness, or to achieve greatness, or to be somebody bigger. The first is that the culture on social media is often extremely shallow, at least the culture that the high school kids are involved in. I think that some adults who are into some aspects of social media, there's a lot of learning that happens on social media, there's a lot of actually deep ideas and things that are discussed, but the way your typical 15, 16-year-old is using social media, it promotes a very shallow view of life, a very shallow view of ideas, of relationships, of connections. You're scrolling through things, and everything's in bites of a few seconds, and our attention spans and our ability to sit and focus on something is so affected. It's hard to be someone who's going to care about the community when a lot of the kind of social media interactions which take up so much time of our kids. I mean, do the research of how many hours a day a typical teenager spends on his phone, it's like insane. It's and COVID exacerbated, and we were on like a whole initiative. We were on a whole crusade to just lower this and to let people try to just live in reality and not live in this, you know. And we were making some strides, and then COVID came, and it just basically sent us right back on this issue. Sent us right back to square one. The idea that the self-promotion and you know, we're talking about godless Adam, but if you want to be someone who's going to be someone who's going to be a Jewish leader, or think about a tzibur, think about outside yourself, think about a life of giving to other people, a life of not worrying about your own, being able to be that person who's there for the community. So that, I think, has a very negative kind of an impact on the kids. And the idea that such a vast world out there, and you have so much information, and so many people, and so many, you're exposed to so much more, you sort of like, you know, if everybody's great, then like, then you know, where do I find my place in all of that? Like, how do I stick out? How do I make a contribution? How do I make myself someone who was living a meaningful life? And there's much more. This guy Nicholas Carr wrote a book called The Shallows. Really speaks to my first point about how the type of knowledge that most kids are getting is so superficial. And I mention this now. I mean, I was going to speak more about, you know, how kids are, and I know a lot of the adults and a lot of the college age and all of us in this room are also in different amounts very attached to our phones. Some of us might be coming back from Eretz Yisrael, and you'll be jumping into this. Some of you may have been into this for a year. And so I do think that it plays a role. It's something that we need to think about, in addition to the things that have been raised here. It's something that we definitely need to think about. I guess I wanted to then turn this a little bit by starting out with this statistic that I did, to turn into a little bit of a charge and a pitch to you that whatever the reasons might be, and the reasons that were mentioned here I think are very serious and very legit, I believe strongly that in one way or another, it may not be to be a pulpit rabbi or to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva, but I do think that this group here, the Jewish community does need you. The Jewish community does need you. And I don't know that, I don't think that for whatever reason that this message, which I think Francis, so I call him Adrichim, again, I've been here as long as anybody, longer than anybody. This has been a message that we have tried to communicate to our Adrichim always. But for whatever the reasons are, if society is so much more fast, or things are more pressured, or, and some of you didn't say it, but you hinted to it, you know, your parents are telling you that nowadays you need to make so much more money and you know, to stay afloat. And some of that might be true. And that's some of what Mrs. Fletcher wrote in the article about how you can't make a parnasa now being a Rebbe in the yeshiva. You can't make enough money to live. She did mention that. The Jewish community needs you. It's as simple as that. The Jewish community needs you. The Jewish community needs Jewish educators, strong ones, great ones, talented ones, of the variety that there is on Etzis Wachol. You guys are young, you're just starting out. I would urge you to consider a career in Jewish education. Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vayah Hashem kisor liros." HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he saw a burning bush, he saw something going on, and he said, "There's something here. There's something that I need to go address. There's an issue. There's something going on." Those three stories, many of the Rishonim, Chama Leibowitz develops this very beautiful in her in her Sefer about how the first three stories that we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu, he sees an Egyptian hitting a Jew, he sees two Jews fighting, and then he sees non-Jews being persecuted by other non-Jews. He had a feeling like, I need to get involved. There's problems in the world. There's issues. I need to take care of. I need to do what I can. I will tell you this. I don't think that great Jewish leaders are born great Jewish leaders. They're not born that way. They work. They care. They feel for other people, and they have a burning drive and desire. They have a burning drive and desire to help other people. Yoshua, Moshe's successor, Hashem tells Moshe, Kachas Yoshua ish asher ruach bo. And the Sparno says something so beautiful on that. Ish asher ruach bo. His language is, Muchan lekabel or pnei melech, like it says, uvelev kol chacham lev nosati chachma. Right? A strange pasuk. Uvelev kol chacham lev nosati chachma. In the heart of everybody who's a chacham, I gave chachma. Everybody asks, what do you mean in the heart of someone who has chachma, I gave chachma? Then how did anybody ever get the first chachma? If you have to have chachma in order to get chachma, what does that pasuk mean? How do you get the first chachma if you need chachma in order to get chachma? Says the Sfarno, you know what chachma means? A chacham leiv means someone who wants it. Someone who has a drive for it. Someone who has appreciation for it. Someone who has a desire for it. For that growth. For that greatness. For that elevation. For moving forward. That's who Hashem wanted to be his leader. Ish asher ruach bo, says the Sfarno, Muchan lekabel or pnei mela. Muchan lekabel or pnei mela. I would argue that in this room there are many, many people who are muchan lekabel or pnei mela. Maybe they're a little nervous, maybe they're a little tentative, maybe they're starting out, maybe they're wondering where their place is going to be in the Jewish communal service. And it certainly doesn't have to only be in Jewish education or in the pulpit. There's so many ways. There's so many examples of people who like stumbled in because they saw something and they were a sar liros. What comes to mind is this guy, Elie Beer, who started the United Hatzalah. He tells the story of how he was in his neighborhood and he watched people who ambulances couldn't get to them. So he said, if I had a scooter, I could go and get where through the Israeli traffic. And I mean, he tells a little story the way a lot of these organizations started, Hatzalah, the way it started, the way the whole online YU Torah, this rabbi named Avery Teitelbaum made recordings for someone who was sick in a hospital who couldn't learn, and he made a recording. But be a sar liros. Be someone who recognizes what's going on in Klal Yisrael. It's not as hard to make a difference as maybe the world is telling you, or the pressures of what you feel is going on is out there. It's true. I grew up in a house. My grandfather was extremely involved in Jewish education. My father was involved in Jewish education. So I did have a little bit more of a natural progression. But if you look at most of the rabbis in DRS, 99% of the rabbis in DRS, they didn't grow up in that kind of a house. You can make a difference. I feel that very strongly. I'll just one last word, because I think I've spoken enough. Maybe let's open it up to feedback from you, because I always feel that that's so much more. I mean, there's so many great stories about this. I was going to read, I didn't realize, I don't think you guys would care too much about that. I spoke to Elliot Steinmetz for a few minutes before. I was talking about hey, you have a kid who spent 7 years working to achieve something. nothing that's worth anything in life will be achieved without hard work. No greatness, no success will be. So it's not, I don't think it's, I don't want to tell you it's going to be easy. There's a famous story. I always check myself when I say famous story. Not famous, because probably most of you don't know about it. There's a story. There's a sefer called She'ifos. The story appears in that sefer. I even forget all the names of people who were in the story, but one of the, there was a Rosh Yeshiva who was escorting a visiting Rosh Yeshiva through his yeshiva, and he was pointing to different members of the yeshiva. He said, this kid is the biggest masvid in the yeshiva. You've probably heard the story. And this kid is the biggest lamdan in the yeshiva. One is the masvid, one is the lamdan, one is the biggest Yirei Shamayim. And then he pointed to another person and said, this is the best guy in the yeshiva. The guest said, if this guy's the biggest lamdan, this guy's the biggest masmin, and this guy's the biggest bucky, this guy knows the most halakha, so what does this guy have? So the Rosh Yeshiva said, he's the biggest mavakish. He's the one who wants it the most. He's the best guy. He's the one who wants it. That person ended up being disciple. That was the story. Ended up being disciple. The others had more talents than him. So we're looking for a few good men. We're looking for people who are mevakshim,
who care for Klal Yisrael, who have a certain chush for that, and all of you have a degree of it because you wouldn't be here as madrichim otherwise. And I would be happy throughout the summer at any time to speak to anybody who's thinking of, I know, not to offer you a job in the DRX. No, that's not what I was saying. But I'll be happy throughout the summer to, and maybe that also, I mean, other rabbis, maybe that also, but I'll be happy throughout the summer to speak to you about a career in chinuch, because we need you. And the last thing I would say is that if you want to strive for greatness, and Rabbi Berman, I was only there for a few minutes of what he said down in the South Campus, but he said something which really resonated with me a lot. He said that he used to ask Rav Aaron Lichtenstein questions, and he would come to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein with the question, and by the time he sat down in front of him and he started asking the question, he already knew the answer before he says, well, this question I was about to ask you is such a ridiculous question, because as Rabbi Leewood said so beautifully, you know, when you're in the presence of MS, all the sheker easily falls away. It easily falls away. So my last piece of advice from an old man is try to attach yourself to great people. We once asked the question before, when you think of a great person, who do you consider to be a great person? What do you consider to be a great person? Regardless of whether you go into chinuch. If you want to be someone who strives for greatness, then try to attach yourself to great people. I have been blessed in that. Rabbi Arye Leibowitz tweeted today from Rabbi Reisman. Rabbi Reisman, you know who Rabbi Reisman is? Rabbi Reisman is a huge, huge Talmud Chacham, a huge Jewish leader, a huge influencer, a huge Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. So he tweeted from Rabbi Reisman that Rabbi Reisman said recently in some context, maybe when he brought the Smicha guys there, that the only reason he accomplished anything in his life was because of his Raveim that he attached himself to, and he listened to them even when it was hard for him to listen to them. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein very, very famously wrote in his article an essay titled it just ran out of my head because the famous essay that he wrote, he said he is from today because he saw three people.
The source of faith is
faith. Thank you. The source of faith is faith itself. Thank you. He's from today because he saw three people. The Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and Rav Hutner. I've had an incredible privilege in my life. I don't know why I merited this privilege. I really don't know. It was a little bit of a fluke that I merited this privilege, but I have a very, very strong connection with Rav Mordechai Willick. And I can tell you that my life is 1,000 times different than it would have been without having that connection. I don't know how I got blessed with it or why I got blessed with it. It was, like I said, it wasn't something that I necessarily even looked for, but somehow I ended up with it, and I am so blessed that I have that relationship with an Adam Gadol that you could always run something by. So if you're always in the presence of an Adam Gadol, you have that much better of a shot to try to look for that. So, I mean, it's full disclosure, I mean, the guy's told us a T4 or a flex. Rabbi Leibowitz in the tweet, I realized in the tweet, he also pointed out that that's something that I say in every single DRS graduation. I tell every graduating class, Aseh Lecha Rav, have a Rebbe, attach yourself to someone great, because then the greatness will follow as well. So if anybody wants, but I already use up all the time, that's what I tend to do. I apologize about that, because I want to hear Rabbi Leibowitz's reaction to that. But I really want to hear from you, from what you guys have to say about this. Anything about chinuch, questions about going into chinuch, or things of that, or Jewish leadership, or something of that nature, please feel free. We'll observe the 8-second rule. One person to get it going. Person to risk.
But do you guys think that the system is producing people that are great?
But just you. So.
Not just me. But also me.
You said it produced you.
I know, I'm saying, that's capital T4. So T7.
So everyone's going into chinuch, gewaltig, okay. How many of you are considering a career in Jewish education? Strongly considering.
Pick it up, Hydro Travels, go.
Pick it up. Okay, that's pretty good. Anyone have any reservations? What are your reservations? All the things we said.
No.
None of them. What are your reservations? You don't have to. You don't feel comfortable.
It's kind of, what Kurt said,
feeling that there's a gap. I don't know what time was this supposed to be over then?
10 o'clock.
So we'll close with this story, because it's about my father. So you'll give me, my father, when he passed away, was 73 years old. And I was so shocked. 3 months before my father passed away, the yeshiva that he worked for, which he worked in on the last day of his life, until the last day of his life, he was doing what he loved doing, teaching, running the minyan, getting involved with kids' lives. And you could talk to people, there's a lot of kids on this kola, a lot of people knew my father. I'm so completely blown away by how many kids come over to me and talk to me about it, whatever. I can go with Don Meyer. So just very quickly, they put a video on like 70 or 80 of these like 12-year-old, 11-year-old kids are talking about my father, 73-year-old man, who didn't know what Twitter was, didn't know what Snapchat was, didn't know what, you know, there's ways to get it done. You know, and my father wasn't a complicated person. He wasn't a brilliant guy. He was sincere. And when you're sincere, when you care, kids respect that 1,000 times more than whether you know the latest gadget or gizmo that they happen to be on. We'll go Davin Meyer. Thank you very much.
I'd like to just thank you very much for having us.